Good morning, everyone. Oh, it's good to hear your response. Good morning to those who are tuning in online. Just let me get my stuff set up. Okay. So this morning, we're going to talk about the gift of children. And this is a topic that's really close to my heart. I'm just really glad to be able to share this with you. So when we think about a topic such as the gift of children, what do we kind of envision, you know, what is the first thing that comes to your mind? If I may take a guess, okay, usually when we think about sermons or messages about the gift of children, we'll be thinking about what a blessing children can be to us, you know, how cute and innocent the children are and how precious they are, and maybe even thinking about the sense of fulfillment that they may bring to us, not just as parents, but maybe as grandparents or as siblings or as family members. And all that is not wrong. And it is true indeed that children do bring a lot of joy and blessing and positive things into our lives, and that is wonderful. But I want to present to us this morning that there is a danger in thinking about children purely from the perspective of what they bring into our lives. What if the children don't bring joy? What if the children don't bring fulfillment? What if they bring inconveniences or interruption? What if your experiences with children were not positive, whether they are your own or not? What if the children seem to have brought negative circumstances or difficulty compared to the romanticized picture that has been advertised? You see, the danger of purely seeing children for the benefits that they bring to us, the danger is that it can be largely selfish and utilitarian, right? As though children are things supposed to bring us benefit. But what if they don't? Does the value of children then change if they do not bring perceived benefit to us? So it is important for us to consider from the perspective of God. Why do we say that children are a gift from God? You see, on a larger perspective, sometimes we think that, you know, children are good because they can bring economic growth to our nation. They are our future workforce. You know, if we don't have enough children in Singapore, you know, 50 years later or 30 years later, we all are old already, and you know, Singapore will suffer, right? And so we think about it that way, and again, nothing wrong. But if that is the only function of children, then I think we are in some danger. So I want to invite us today to consider a view of children that is beyond a self-centered agenda. I want to invite us to consider it from God's perspective, and that to consider that surely God doesn't give children to us just like toys to give us pleasure. Surely He has a bigger purpose. So what is that purpose? And how do we align with God's purpose for children? About 3 years ago, I made a trip to Israel. It was a dream come true. And while on that wonderful trip, I was speaking to my wonderful Jewish tour guide and talking about the work that I do in Singapore in Safe Place, which seeks to empower pregnant women to make life-giving choices. And she told me, she said, did you know that the Hebrew word for womb, you know, the woman's womb, is compassion and mercy? So I was very intrigued. I went to do a little bit more research and found this out, that the Hebrew word for womb is this word, rahem. And the root word for rahem is raham, which is very, very similar. And it means to love deeply, to have mercy, to have tender affection and compassion. The woman's womb was created by God to be that place of love, compassion, and mercy for the most vulnerable of the human race, the unborn child. All of us, without exception, all of us, while in our mother's womb, received God's compassion and mercy in the sense that we all were in our mother's womb. That was literally God's expression of compassion to you and me, so that while we were the most defenseless and the most vulnerable, we have a safe sanctuary in the womb to develop and grow until such a time where we are ready to be born. If we as human beings know how to carefully keep our most treasured possessions, how much more God? This is a picture that God does really treasure people, and especially children, that He will keep them in a very safe sanctuary until they are born. Jesus Himself is very explicit about the value of children and how children are precious and to be honored. So I give us some examples. In the book of Luke, chapter 18, verse 16, Jesus called the children to Him and said, "Let the little children come to Me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these." In the book of Mark, chapter 9, verse 37, Jesus says, "Whoever welcomes one of these little children in My name welcomes Me, but whoever welcomes Me does not just welcome Me, but the One who sent Me." And Matthew 18, verse 6, He says, "If anyone causes one of these little ones, those who believe in Me, to stumble, it would be better for them to have a large millstone hung around their neck and to be drowned in the depths of the sea." Very severe. You know, unfortunately, the womb, the rahim, has become one of the most dangerous places for an unborn child to be in. With an estimated 60 to 70 million abortions worldwide every year, 60 to 70 million every year around the world, it is said that the mother's womb has become one of the most dangerous places for a child to be in. In Singapore, just to put it into context, one in every seven pregnancies are aborted every year. One in seven. God views children as precious, but unfortunately, we often have not. Our disdain for young lives start from when they are not even born, not just manifested in abortion, but in horrendous acts of abuse and neglect. These days, it is quite common to read news of child abuse and neglect reported in our local media, like the Straits Times or CNA. If you read the news regularly, you will realize that at least once a week, there will be some report of child abuse. And this is not happening somewhere far away. This is right at our doorstep. You know, there are many more verses throughout the Bible that repeatedly affirm the place of children in God's heart and the kingdom. So I ask myself, why is then there seems to be a growing disdain and a growing bad attitude or you know, viewing children like they're burdens and we would rather not have too many of them. Why is that so? Perhaps we need to be reminded about why children are a gift. Perhaps we all need a renewed vision about children from God. I don't think, and I know that here we don't believe, that God would create junk, right? And we need to have a renewed vision about how He sees them and the unique purposes He has for them to fulfill. And so this morning, I just want to touch on one verse, one point, Psalm 8:2. And if I may invite all of us to read the verse together. Okay, read the verse together. One, two, go. "Out of the mouth of babes and nursing infants, You have ordained strength because of Your enemies, that You may silence the enemy and the avenger." So babes here refer to a very young child. And nursing infants is what it is, just nursing infants, babies who are nursing at their mother's breast. So it says here that out of the mouths of these little babies and infants, God has ordained strength to silence the enemy and the avenger. So I want to ask us a question. At that age, imagine a little baby or a little young child. At that age, what comes out of their mouths? What comes out of their mouths? If I ask this question to young parents, they will say, milk puke. Yeah, depending on how you burp them or not burp them, right? Yes, that's true too. But the most common thing that comes out of the baby's mouth is what? Sound. Sound. Cries, screams, shouts, gibberish, little cute baby talk. And then when they are older, they learn language, you know, their baby language, their child language. Okay, you hear that sound? That was the sound of a child. And God says in this verse, in the scriptures, that out of the mouths of these babies, God has ordained strength to silence the enemy of our souls. Proverbs 18:21 is a familiar verse to us. It says that death and life is in the tongue, is in the power of the tongue. You know, it is not just in the power of an adult tongue. It is in the power of the tongue, including those of children. So children, their sounds have the power of life and death as well. And in this verse, it shows us that there is that power to silence the enemy, even though they may not have full language abilities. They may not pray fluently. They may not even know what they are talking about, what we are talking about, but they have the power. God has ordained it. How did God create the heavens and the earth? Through the power of His Word. He spoke. When a child is being born, what is the first thing that the doctor or the mommy looks out for? The sound, the cry of the baby. Oh my goodness, if the baby doesn't cry, everyone freaks out and they need to smack the bum of the baby to make sure, right, there is sound. That is the first time that life is not just seen but heard. The sound of life is so powerful. The word ordained is important here in this verse as well. The word ordained means to lay a foundation, to establish and to appoint. So God says He has ordained strength in the sounds released by babies and children. So it is not simply a passing moment. It builds, if you can imagine, you know, every time that sound proceeds out, we are building a foundation of strength, a foundation establishing something so that it is a foundation laid that the enemy continues to be silenced and powerless. And what does it mean to silence the enemy and the avenger? If we look deep into the word, one of the things that we can find out is that the word silence means to cease, to desist, to put an end to, and to prevail against. These are very powerful spiritual warfare words, spiritual warfare kind of imagery. Look at this little baby, if you can flash this up. Okay, not so little. It looks like a gigantic baby on the screen. But if we look at this baby, it's really hard to imagine that what this baby can do spiritual warfare. I mean, we look at this baby, very, very cute, and we think babies at this age eat, sleep, poop. That is what they do. Spiritual warfare, maybe when they're a little bit older when we teach them. However, I challenge us today. In the scriptures, it says that God has ordained praise from the mouths of this baby to silence the enemy. So the next time we look at a child, I urge us to see it from God's perspective. See the child from God's perspective and call out his or her destiny. God has already said it, designed it that way, and it is so. It is His divine design. So can you see that one of the most powerful purposes from God for children is spiritual warfare? They are important in the kingdom, not just because they look cute and give us joy, but because they are actually powerful agents of spiritual warfare that live among us, and sometimes we are not even aware. If we don't recognize the purpose of God in children, if we only regard the value of children according to the value they bring to our selfish needs, then we may be missing out on one of the most precious and critical parts of the body of Christ. The body of Christ is not just made up of adults. Agree? So what is the role of children? Today we learn this is one of the roles of children. And could it be that many spiritual battles have been lost because the voices of children have not been released? Could it be that because children have been silenced either through premature death or through our ungodly attitudes, that we have lost the foundation of strength to silence the enemy? Have you ever wondered why throughout history there seems to be a consistent scheme of things, events to destroy children? Let me just share with you some examples from the Bible. In the book of Matthew, we know the story of King Herod ordering the execution of all male children under 2 years old within the vicinity of Bethlehem. In the book of Exodus, Pharaoh commands the Hebrew midwives to kill the baby boys when they are delivered. In more modern times and parts of the world, we still practice gender-selective infanticide. And of course, there are these school shootings and human trafficking and child abuse and, of course, abortion. There seems to be a relentless attempt by Satan to wipe out children. You know why? Because he knows it is between him and the children. If the children get to live, he is silenced and therefore powerless. But if the children die, then his voice is allowed to roam and to have influence over the kingdom. It is really important for us to understand and to be aware of whose voice we are empowering. Whose voice are we enabling? It is the enemy's strategy to silence the children. But as the people of God, we have to ensure that our children have a voice. We have to ensure that they are allowed to release that sound that God will ordain strength upon to silence the foe and the enemy. Amen. How then can we celebrate and release children into that God-given destiny of silencing the enemy? I want to share with us some thoughts, okay? Just some practical thoughts. Number one, we do need to repent, first of all, if we may have any attitudes that are ungodly or projects disdain or view children not really in the way that God wants us to. We need to repent of our mindsets that children are a burden and not a gift. Number two, we all can protect and celebrate the life of every child, born or unborn. We pray for them. We can declare, for example, Psalm 127 over them, declaring that they are a heritage from the Lord. They are a reward from Him. And number three, we can honor the place of children in our families, our churches, our communities, and we can do it very practically. So for example, where the church family where I belong to, we believe that children have the same Holy Spirit as all of us have. They don't have a junior baby Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit that is in you, that is in me, is the same Holy Spirit in a little baby and a little child, right? So it means that whatever the Holy Spirit enables us to do, enables us as an adult to do, the Holy Spirit can also enable and will also enable a child to do the very same thing. So in our church family, one of the things that we do is from very young as possible, we train our children to hear God's voice. We train them to prophesy, to worship, and to pray for healing, and to do even greater things that Jesus talks about. They are taught not just to know the Bible in their heads, but to experience the power of God in everything. So let's not underestimate the power of children that God has given them. As I close, I want to just bring it to context as well with the work that I do in Safe Place. It is a work that seeks to empower unsupported pregnant women to make life-giving choices. We provide them a whole holistic suite of help. Essentially, if someone comes to us and says, I'm pregnant and I don't know what to do, or, oh no, how am I going to carry this pregnancy to full term? Or they may be even considering aborting the child. We come alongside them and we try to find out as much as possible the needs that they have and to meet every one of their needs, from casework to counselling to accommodation to baby essentials to emotional support, etc. The whole works. Many people ask me why I do this work. Why did I start Safe Place? You know, it is more than just good humanitarian work. I always share with my team that every woman that we serve is a testimony to give glory to God. Every time a baby is born, it is a testimony that death has lost its sting and life has a victory. And so this is not just good social work or good humanitarian work. I ensure that our team knows that we are in the depths of spiritual warfare, and that when we come and serve these women and their babies and their families, we are standing sometimes between life and death. And we will come and ensure that in all these things, God gets all the glory. And the enemy will not have a voice in their stories. And so I want to ask us this morning as we contemplate this verse, as you hear this message, would you come and let our prayers be that through the eyes of God, we will see children. Let's repent from our selfish ways and selfish views of children, and let's ask the Holy Spirit to give us a revelation of His heart for children. Amen.